So let's read the Word of God. We'll take up the reading at Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word of God in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. We'll end our reading here at verse 28. We're going to look tonight just for a few moments at the words of verse 26 and verse 27. We'll take that final phrase in verse 26 as our lead into these two passages of Scripture. They were recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. Now let's unite our hearts in prayer just for a little moment, and let's seek the face of God and the help of the Lord as we turn to his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for all that has gone before in the meeting tonight. We thank thee for the encouragement of the reports as we've looked back over these past some 21 years in the life of our sister Gillian. We thank thee for every step that the Lord has led her. And we thank thee for every situation that the Lord has kept her in. And for every time that the blessing of God has been outpoured upon her labours and her service for King Jesus in the land of Kenya. And Lord, we stop tonight as a board and as a church and as a congregation of thy people to return thee thanks for the grace of God in the life of thy dear servant. And we thank thee tonight that we're met together to give thanks for the work of God that she has been enabled to fulfill. And we ask tonight, now as we gather around the word of the Lord, that thou will bless it to our hearts and lives. Lord, this is thy word. And we pray that thou will grant to us the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might have discernment of it. Grant unto me that divine infilling, and grant, Lord, not only that the fleece might be wet tonight, but that even that the ground around the fleece might be wet with the very dew of heaven. We pray this in our Saviour's dear and precious name. Amen. I think it's safe to say that in our text this evening we have one of the first missionary reports that was ever given. I would even go as far to say that this was one of the first deputation meetings that we have ever recorded in the New Testament scriptures. When Paul and Barnabas came back to the church at Antioch and rehearsed, or the word simply means reported, all that God had enabled them to do over their first missionary journey. What an adventure in faith it had been. The missionary team had been away for months. Some people think it was approximately 1 to 2 years, reaching out into the regions where the gospel of the grace of God had never gone before. They had journeyed from Antioch and Syria. Do you often think when you hear about Syria and the bloodshed and the mayhem that goes on there today, that the first missionary team went out from that dearly beloved land? And from Syria, they went to the little island of Cyprus. And there they were immediately met, not with the reception of the gospel, but with the rejection of the gospel. And there they met opposition. But in the midst of the opposition from the sorcerer, they also were enabled by the grace of God to touch the heart of the governor of the island, and he was wonderfully and gloriously converted to Christ. They left Cyprus, they sailed to the mainland of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, to Perga, where the nephew of Barnabas, John Mark, left a missionary band. If you carefully compare Acts 13, you'll find John Mark was not sent, but he went. And you know those that are not sent but go, they always return. But those that are sent, they persevere and they press on. And though they suffered there at Perga the desertion of John Mark, and I'm sure that had left its great discouragement, they pressed on into the interior. And Acts chapter 13 and 14 really narrates their journeys throughout Asia Minor and what experiences they had. In some places they were worshipped actually as gods. The people thought the gods had come down from heaven. In other places, the reception, the reaction, it was to the other extreme, and they were stoned. And in one case at Lystra, Paul was left for dead outside the city. Such was the beating and the stoning that he received. But wherever they went, and in every situation, they proved the all-sufficiency of the amazing grace of God to his servants and to his people. And when souls were won to Christ, they were very careful to gather those new converts into New Testament assemblies and gatherings and congregations of the people of God, where those fledgling Christians were nurtured in the faith and where the gospel was perpetuated and spread further than even before. When they eventually reached Derbe, the Bible tells us Paul and Barnabas decided that they would go no further. God put a stop on their labours. And they started to retrace their steps, and they revisited the places that they had initially entered into. And the Bible tells us they sought to confirm the souls of those new Christians that they would continue in the faith. Missionary work is not just evangelism, but missionary work is strengthening. Missionary work is strengthening the things that remain, encouraging new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging them to persevere, that they must enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. The second part then of their missionary journey is very different to the first part. So now they are helping those newfound Christians and they are organizing those loose gatherings. And we find that they, as they retrace their steps, they ordained elders in those congregations. The Bible makes it plain that these elders were plural. And not only did they ordain the oversight, so it just wasn't one man leading the congregation, there was a plurality of elders leading the congregation. They very especially and in particular, they commended those new Christians unto the Lord. Paul and Barnabas knew, as their first missionary trip came to an end, that they had a duty to return from whence they had been recommended to the gospel of Christ to Antioch in Syria. And they made their way back slowly, made their way back to the home sending church. And thus they started to head back to Antioch, where they prepared to give an account of themselves and how they had labored in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, those were days when letter writing was a very unknown thing, or a little known thing. News would have been very sparse. And since leaving, perhaps some information had trickled back to Antioch, but by and large, the church there had been kept in the dark as to what had happened on the great exploits and the great experiences of Paul and Barnabas on that missionary journey. I have no doubt, as the people in Antioch met for prayer, their names were lifted up before the Lord. They had been supported and they had been loved and nurtured and cared for. But can you imagine the stir that was caused when the people in Antioch and in the congregation there actually heard that Paul and Barnabas were on their way back? They had actually arrived in the city. And when they arrived in the city, verse 27 tells us, they gathered the church together
to rehearse, or the word is to report, all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. They had fulfilled the work. It's very particular, the wording of it in our AV translation. They had fulfilled the work to which they had been sent, and now they came back home to report of what God had done through their labours. As we gather in Armagh this evening for this welcome home service for Gillian, as a church, as a board, as a denomination, we rejoice, we really do, in the work that God, in his great sovereign grace, has enabled her to fulfil for these past some 21 years in the land of Kenya. In some small measure, I think, just like Paul and Barnabas, we're just servants. I love the way Paul introduced himself in his opening credentials in all of those epistles. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And servants just go and come at their master's bidding. And Gillian was willing to go at our master's bidding. And likewise, she was willing to return at our master's bidding. And over the years in Kenya, countless boys and girls in the nursery schools, and I remember Gillian with all of those little lambs in the nursery school and getting organised for them and all of the endeavour to get those little buildings up and the teachers supplied and the boys and girls in them instructed in the things of God every day, and then into the Sunday schools of the Bible Christian Faith Church, and then progressing from there, from the nursery schools, which were the feeder schools, into the Christian Academy. We'll not forget Gillian's labours in the teens classes, in the little congregations of Bible Christian Faith Church, of her work at the yearly camp, and all of the energy that was expended in that, and all of the frustration too, no doubt, that was spent in it as well. In the ladies' meetings, confirming the Christians in their faith, encouraging them, despite all their difficulties, and oh, what difficulties those dear sisters have in the Lord out there that none of us tonight here would know really anything about, but encouraging them, despite the difficulties, to persevere and to press on in the things of God. And in evangelism, to go out with the people, and to go out with the ladies and to spread the good news of God's redeeming grace and of God's amazing love. But she has fulfilled the work that God has sent her, had sent her to do in the land of Kenya. And as the servant, when the work is fulfilled, you return back home at the master's bidding. Sometimes when missionaries come home, people say, well, the work was only half done. Let me tell you, the work was not half done. The work was done and it was fulfilled and completed. What lessons can we take from the return of Paul and Barnabas to Antioch that we can apply to this welcome home service tonight? I hope it's a personal word for Gillian, but I hope also it has an application for the hearts and lives of all of God's people in this meeting tonight. And for our wider missionary endeavour in the church as a whole. Let's think of them very briefly. Let's first of all recognise that the church is still the sending agency in our own day and in our own generation. Approximately 1 year earlier, remember in Acts chapter 13, that little band of missionaries, they had been commissioned by the church at Antioch and they had been sent forth to reach the regions that were beyond. They launched out in Acts chapter 13 verse 1 to 4. And we read of that historic moment when the Holy Ghost said, wasn't a mission board, wasn't a presbytery or synod, it was the Holy Ghost, who was the great superintendent of this missionary endeavour. When the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, from the oversight of the church at Antioch, and I'm going to send them out into the work of God. And in a wonderful way, the church at Antioch acquiesced. And they gave of their best to the service of Christ. And they didn't say, we're a keeping church. And oftentimes that's the thinking. We're a keeping church. We need all of these people at home. But they were a sending church. And they sent their best out into the mission field. This great superintendent of the work, the Holy Spirit moving and working in hearts and lives, and the church as the agency that God was used to send them forth. And I believe that's a principle that we need to relearn again today. There are many people at home and they want to be free Presbyterians, but they do want to be free Presbyterians abroad. This teaches us about spiritual authority. Paul and Barnabas were under the spiritual authority of the recognized leadership of the church at Antioch. Yes, the Holy Ghost said separate them, but the church they sent them. We listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking within his church, and we acquiesce and we obey and we submit, even though it costs the very best of the leadership of the church at home to be sent abroad. We acquiesce in that, and we say, not our will, but thine be done. We live in a day and age, of course, in which there are many, and they try to bypass the spiritual authority of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they look at local church sessions, and they look at a denominational mission boards, and they see all of this as interference in their freedom of expression and in their freedom of will. I say this guardedly, and of course it has to be applied very cautiously, but oftentimes it is rebellion in the heart and nothing else. The first missionary journey was under the spiritual authority of the church at Antioch. Was that a hindrance to them? Did this harm their endeavour? Did this hamper their work in any way? Absolutely not. Rather, it strengthened the work, it gave spiritual continuity to the work, and it gave unity to the work. I'm glad to say our sister Gillian has worked under the mission board in Kenya for these past 21 years, and under the oversight also in Kenya of the Bible Christian Faith Church. So no matter where she looked, she was under somebody. But I don't think it was a hindrance. It was a help to her labours for Christ. Everybody in a Presbyterian church is under somebody. We're not above anybody. We're under the spiritual authority and discipline of the church. In the home front, on the mission field, there is something wrong with that individual who wants to freelance and not be under the spiritual authority of the sending church. It teaches us also about our responsibility. The missionaries were responsible to the church at Antioch, and they felt that obligation. They had to go back and report to them what had happened on their missionary endeavour. But likewise, the church at Antioch was responsible for the practical and the spiritual support of the missionary endeavour. And as a church, we cannot pray, Lord, send out the labourers into the harvest field, but don't ask me to put my hand in my pocket. Lord, send the labourers out onto the harvest field, but don't let any of our young people go. Men and women, God not only calls us to pray for our missionaries, but we have a God-given responsibility to support them in every way on the Lord's harvest fields. God has placed us here at home to hold the ropes in prayer for those who have gone further afield. We're to make sure as best we can that their practical needs are supplied, enabling them to get on with the work of God. And we need to keep ever before us the biblical truth that the workman is worthy of his hire. And tonight it gives me a real wonderful privilege, and I think an absolutely ideal opportunity, to thank everyone for helping us. Our brother George has already alluded to this, for helping us as a mission board to fulfill our God-given responsibilities as a board to our missionaries. And I say thank you in the Lord's name to every one of you. And I know there are many here tonight who have covenanted to the mission board to help Gillian in her time in Kenya. Thank you to the Armagh congregation for your steadfast and generous support over many years. And each one of you who have held the ropes in prayer, who have held on to the ropes financially for Gillian, are equally tonight commended in this text of Scripture because you have helped her to fulfill the work that the Lord sent her to do. And this incident teaches us here as a church about our ongoing duty. Paul and Barnabas, they had fulfilled their ministry in the first missionary journey. But it was only the first of many others. And that is a truth that we need to get a hold of tonight. They would go again and again. And not only would they go, but in Paul and Barnabas going, others would catch the vision and they would go in their trail. And they would also blaze a trail for God and catch the vision and share the burden. Our sister is gone. She has come home. She's still going in a different direction. But she's still going. But we have an ongoing duty to support the missionary endeavour. I am thinking in particular of the land of Kenya and East Africa in particular. Gillian has fulfilled the work that God sent her to do out there. And we rejoice in that tonight. It is the close of a chapter, but we rejoice in the reading of the chapter and in being part of it and being a little bit involved in it in the years that have gone by. But the work of God in Kenya, it's ongoing. And though Gillian has come home, we still have a duty to support the work of God out there. There are people out there and they have an allegiance to us and they have a loyalty to us and they have a kinship with us and a kindred spirit with us. And I hope in the will of Almighty God that others, even here this evening, will hear the call of the Master to the harvest field in Kenya and will give of their best to the Master, their best years to the Master. Now some of you might say, well, maybe my best years are over. Well, let me just say to you, I was greatly intrigued over the summertime in reading the life story of Bishop J.C. Ryle. He was in his 60s. Did you know that? He was in his 60s when he was called to be the first Bishop of Liverpool. Our work is never over until God says it's over. There is a work for you to do for Jesus that nobody else could ever do. Let's learn secondly from their report in verse 27 as to what is true missionary work. Sadly, from my own experience, a lot of what passes for missionary work today would not pass the apostolic test. All of our labours has to be tried and tested by the word of God. I want you to notice that they rehearsed or they reported all that God had done with them. They had not come back to tell what they had done. They had come back to tell what God had done through them. And that's an important distinction for us to mark and to observe. If this is one of the first missionary, deputation meetings, then it's setting the precedent for all the others that are to follow. Missionaries ought not to come back home and tell about the eye. They're coming back home to tell about the Saviour. They're coming back home to tell about the great work that He is doing and that they are just vessels that He can use in the doing of it. Paul or Barnabas, of course, didn't have the benefit of all this wonderful multimedia presentation that we have today. So visually, they couldn't put these pictures before the eyes of the people there at Antioch. But what a story they had to tell. They told of the saving of souls right from the very onset of their first missionary endeavour from Cyprus to Perga through Asia Minor right to Lystra and back again. They told of how God had worked. And this was a marker for the rest of their missionary endeavours. Souls were going to be saved. And we can take encouragement tonight that God still uses the means of grace, brethren and sisters, to save the souls for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. We are not to give up on using the God-ordained means of grace. The preaching of the Word of God. The proclaiming of the glorious evangel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is any work to be done for God and for God's great eternity, let it be done God's way. And we'll give Him all the glory and we'll give Him all the praise. They told how God had delivered them. Oh, we haven't time to rehearse it all as they did, but they were delivered from sickness. They were delivered from death. They were delivered from their enemies. They were delivered from the hate and the spite and the malice of the evil one. They were delivered from discouragement and from desertion. God was their great deliverer every step of the journey. If we were to get our sister Gillian back up here and to tell of all of the deliverances that you had over the past 21 years, it would be a very long meeting indeed. Oh, for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise Him. They told how new churches were formed, how those new believers were formed into congregations. And from those congregations, the gospel then went out into other regions, and those new converts took the gospel to regions that Paul or Barnabas had not entered into. This is pioneer, missionary, labour and service. This was what God had done. But they also told, they reported how God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. This was a door that had long been closed, and one that many in the early apostolic church were amazed that God had opened. The early Christians in the apostolic church, of course, they were from Judaism. They were not accustomed to Gentiles being equated as being the children of God or being part of the family of God. The Jewish people, they looked at the Gentiles and they called them mere dogs. You couldn't call anybody something much lower than being a Gentile, a pagan, a heathen. But now God in grace was working in the hearts of these Gentiles. And God was bringing in to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ people who the Jewish Christians could never ever have imagined would be part of the family of God with them. And little did they know on that first missionary trip that this was going to be the harbinger of floodgates that were going to be opened in the years that were to come. I love those words. Remember the moderator of the church at the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, at that great controversy that they gathered there to deliberate upon. He said, God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Oh, it's a blessing to know that we're in the business still today of God visiting the nations of the Gentiles. And he's taking out a people for himself. And he's bringing them men and women. These Gentile believers, he's bringing them from the north, from the south, from the east and from the west. What a congregation there's going to be assembled there in Emmanuel's land one day when all of the saints of God are gathered home. Tell me, tonight, you're here in this meeting, and we're here to welcome our sister Gillian home. But if this is true of what God is doing in other nations, has he visited you in his grace in your own heart and in your own life? Do you know the saving merit that's in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ? But a terrible thing, if Gillian was to go to Kenya and proclaim that great name over there and ones that she loves and knows in Armagh for years, I've not trusted in that name yet. I urge you tonight to repent of your sin, to flee from the wrath of God that is to come, because God is visiting in grace today, but there's a day coming when God is going to visit in wrath, and he's going to gather the tares for the burning, and he's going to bring this age to its close and men and women to the greatest final assize. We're going to conclude, and I want you to see how, thirdly, at Antioch, as they came back to the home church, they were redirected in the work. One of my favourite hymns is Fanny Crosby's hymn, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. Not mean much to you that, unless you know Fanny Crosby was blind when she wrote those words. Every step she needed the Lord to lead her. And here, Paul and Barnabas, they were being led. God had redirected them back to the home sending church where they were recommended for the work that they had fulfilled. But now they had to rest. Tells us here they made the report, and then in verse 28 they abode a long time with the disciples. Some think it was up to a year in duration. I'm not too sure about that. But God knows that our physical bodies have need in order to rest, to recuperate, to recover from the stresses and strains that are within the work of God. Some of you mightn't think there's not too much stress or strain in being in the work of God. You have a very low estimation of what the work of God really is, if that is your thinking tonight. Remember how the Saviour was with those early disciples. And in Mark 6:35, he said to them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." For there was so much coming and going that they had no leisure so much as to eat. I read during the summer holidays Ian Murray's book. You get that book on Bishop Ray. As a young man, he went to his first church full of health and vigour. And how many years did he last in it? 2 years before his health broke down with stress and strain. And he had to go out of the work altogether. God was to open other doors, of course, for him. But to save his future ministry, God closed that door. And sometimes God closes a door, and we're busy and we're active and we're engaged in what we're doing, and just God shuts the door for us in order that he might save us for future doors and for future service. That's what happened here. They had to renew their fellowship with the disciples at home. I think this is intimated in that it was necessary for them to stay a long time. A year is a long time. And we learn here again, it's never good to be separated from those on the home front, and misunderstandings quickly come in. And of course, even in those days, there had been no instant communication as we have today. Minor issues can become major ones very, very quickly. Furloughs, brethren and sisters, they have their own special purposes in the providences of God. And here they had to re-engage in the ministry. When they came back, they didn't know what was going to happen. But they came back, they had finished that first missionary course, they rested. And there they renewed their fellowship with the Lord and with the other believers in that assembly. And then something very strange and dramatic happened. Visitors arrived one day at Antioch from Jerusalem. And they brought with them new and strange doctrine. And they taught the Gentile Christians at Antioch that they had to be circumcised like the Jews in order to be saved and in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And it would seem to me in the great providence of God that Paul and Barnabas had been brought back to Antioch just at the right time in order to rebuff the attack of the devil. Just at the right time. They came back when the home church needed their services most. I being in the way the Lord led me. And that's how these men were led. And we do marvel tonight at the providential arrangements of Almighty God in the life of our sister Miss Gillespie. She did not know sincerely when she was deciding to return to Northern Ireland that God was going to open up another door of service for her in the Bethel Children's Ministry in County Fermanagh. We see God's timing is just perfect timing. And God knew the need on the home front. She had fulfilled the work on the mission field. And God brought her back to take up this work that he has put into her hand. See, even in the little seemingly insignificant details of these two missionaries returning, the Holy Spirit, he has lessons for us all to learn and apply. As a mission board, there are many lessons for us here to apply. As congregations, there are many lessons for us to learn once again. We rejoice, Gillian, for the work that God has enabled you to fulfill. It has been fulfilled. And I know in many ways, in many, many ways, you will miss Kenya. And you'll wait in the petrol station here for a long time before somebody comes to offer to put the petrol in for you. So don't be doing that. There'll be little details that you'll smile at and maybe lament at. But you did fulfill your work out there. Now a new work is opening amongst the boys and girls of County Fermanagh, reaching new lands with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you see the Lord in the rearrangement of your life circumstances tonight. And maybe there's some believer here and you've been sitting on the sidelines for years. You haven't got involved. You've deliberately not got involved. You've been waiting a long time. You know what the Lord says to you tonight? Re-engage. Re-engage. There's people that need you. There's ministries in the church that are crying out for your help and assistance. There are ones in your neighbourhood you can befriend and seek to win for Jesus Christ and get in under the sound of God's word. Oh, may none of us on that day be found standing before the Lord, having been given talents and only having buried them and done nothing with them along the journey of life. May the Lord bless you, Gillian, and may the Lord continue to lead and guide you and bless you down in County Fermanagh.